Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from Granite Creek Copper, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GCX and on the OTCQB under the symbol GCXXF. We are chatting with the president and CEO, Tim Johnson. Now, just to bring everybody up to speed, Granite Creek Copper is focused at the CarMax property. This is a high-grade copper, gold, silver project in Yukon. The company already has a resource and a PEA that was released back in 2017, the PEA. But as we're going to chat with Tim here, there are some near-term catalysts that include updating the resource and the PEA that are on tap for early next year. The first thing we want to do here, though, Tim, is recap the drill program, this phase one program that was completed this year. It was 10,000 meters in total. I believe most of these results have been released to the market. So start us off with the overall strategy, the goals behind this 10,000 meter program, please.
Well, thank you. Yeah, pleasure to be here. Yeah, our goal for the drill program this year was, I'd say 80% was resource expansion and upgrade. So we were moving material from an inferred category to a measured and indicated, as well as expanding that. And we drilled in three zones. We drilled zone one, which was the only area that the 2017 preliminary economic assessment addressed and looked at. And then we drilled 2000 South, and then we also drilled 13. Now, these three zones are very close to each other. They would be within trucking distance of, you know, within actually a couple hundred meters of each other. So with a centrally located mill, you'd be able to process material from all three of them. In zone one, we really focused on drilling off the sulfide resource that underlies the oxide. And the takeaway from that drilling was something that the listeners should really look on our website and see, is that when we hit that sulfide material, the grade that we intercepted is consistently higher than the grade of the current resource. So the current resource in the inferred is 0.71% copper. We're seeing, you know, 1.5% to, you know, well over that in those drill intercepts. And then in 2000 South, like I referenced, just a few hundred meters away, this was a zone that had seen little drilling done by previous operators. It was known there was some high-grade potential. The question had always been about the width and you know, whether it continued at depth. But we definitely proved that it did. In drill hole 11 in this year's campaign, we hit 105 meters of 0.96% copper, with good precious metal credits giving us 1.1% copper equivalent. But the significance of this hole is that in 105 meters, the entirety of it was below the current resource model. So we've extended the resource in zone 2000 South by drilling at between 30 and 130 meters, depending on which drill hole you reference. So we've extended the depth, so we expect on an updated resource estimate to be able to add significant tons. And again, just about every single intercept in the sulfide domain was higher grade than the current resources as modeled in 2017.
Well, Tim, that brings up a good question then. It seems like as you go deeper and you're hitting not just higher grade at depth, but also these good long intercepts, like you mentioned, a lot of them were 80, 90 meters. Some of that one you just referenced was over 100 meters. Does that change your understanding of this deposit, since it was historically known as an oxide deposit, but you're finding such juicy grades down underneath that zone? Does that change how you're looking at this whole project now?
Well, yeah, to a certain degree. I mean, when we got the project, we recognized that it had a 7-year proposed oxide mine life, but the sulfide had really been underexplored, and we felt that there was a real potential there. And I think the drilling that we've done has proved that up. We see the sulfide potential to be 2 to 3 times larger, even greater than that, than what the oxide resources are. But some of the spectacular grade that we are getting in the sulfide domain has had us take a second look at the model. You know, perhaps we're into a feeder zone that was providing the mineral when the deposit was laid down. Perhaps some of these zones do have higher grade at depth, and we can get some pretty interesting information. So one of the things we did do this year is we brought in two companies. You brought in Sedgman Canada and Mining Plus. Sedgman is a process engineering firm, so they look at various ways that your ore could be processed, and they optimize your potential flow chart for your mill operations. And then Mining Plus is a mine design company. So one of the things we wanted to do is we wanted to bring all the sulfide material into view for an updated preliminary economic assessment that we're going to be working on and probably completing late first quarter, early second quarter next year. But we wanted to bring all the resources into view. So we wanted to bring not only oxide, but the sulfide into view. And we've also recognized that a portion of the deposit is likely going to be mined by an underground method. So we wanted to do some studies and choose what type of method was going to be the most cost effective for that. And we've completed that, and now we're working towards that PEA to bring, again, all the resources into an updated mine plan. We're targeting a 15 to 20 year mine plan. We think we're probably pretty close just based on the historic plus the drilling that we've done this year. And then in addition to that, we'll look at what the blue sky is, what the other zones on the property, some of the northern targets, what they could potentially add to just even increase that mine life even further.
Sounds like this upcoming PEA is going to be pretty important for the company to really figure out what is the most economic way of mining that deposit. What's the flow going to be in terms of next year, approximate timelines of getting out the resource update and the PEA here, Tim?
Yeah, so we're expecting the resource update sometime, I would guess, sort of mid first quarter. You know, we've got a couple of assays. We're waiting on that. We're looking at a couple of things for that. And then following on that, sort of, let's say late first quarter to early second quarter would be the updated preliminary economic assessment. And in and around that, there's going to be, of course, the exploration plans for our 2022 field season. There's going to be, you know, what geophysics we're going to be doing, how much drilling we're going to be doing, and all that kind of stuff. We'll be working on that as the PEA comes together, because where the PEA lands is going to affect where we explore, right? Because we, like I say, our goal is to get to that 15 to 20 year mine life. So that could affect how much drilling we do and where we drill.
Well, Tim, when you mentioned you're going to have potentially a 15 to 20 year mine life, just remind listeners what a change that is from the prior PEA that's from 2016, 2017. And also, I know you've done a lot of infill drilling and a lot of confirmation drilling. So when you're working on this new resource estimate, what kind of general expectations do you have in that regard as far as how those will fit into this new mine plan?
Right. Yeah, so firstly, the 2017 PEA contemplated a 7-year mine life in the oxide and zone one only. So there's multiple zones on the project. The updated PEA will include all the significant zones, so zones 1, 4, 7, 2000 South, and 13. And then in addition to that, we'll be adding to those resources, of course, with our drilling. Our hope is, and this is a pretty forward-looking statement, that we're at least a 25% bump in contained metal on an updated resource. But until we actually get that published by the third party that's doing that work for us, you know, that's really difficult. But that's, I think we'll probably be in that range somewhere. So, yeah, I don't want to go too far out on a limb on that one.
Fair enough, Tim. We'll follow up as that news comes out from the company. Let's also talk a bit more regional in and around the CarMax property. I realize that Minto is completing a go public transaction. They're right next door to the CarMax property. How is this going to impact the company? What's important to know about this go public transaction?
Well, yeah, there's a couple things. One, the high grade Minto Copper Belt has two players. It's got Minto Explorations and us. So there's only really two significant landholders that hold the highly prospective areas for mineralization. Minto, up until now, has been a private company. They've been owned 10% by a public entity, a UK-listed Pembridge Resources. But they really been operating under the radar. And, when you have a private company, it's hard. They don't have the reporting standards that public companies have. So it's really difficult to get a view on what they're doing. They released a preliminary economic assessment earlier this year that looked at about an 8-year mine life at a PEA stage, so that's not feasibility. And then they, of course, announced their go public transaction. The significance for Granite Creek is by having another publicly traded entity within the Minto Copper Belt, it'll give us a direct comparison for value. So we'll have to look at their contained metal, Of course, they will be getting a higher value for their pounds in the ground because they are a producer, but we'll be able to make the direct comparison. It's really hard where our company is to find a true peer that, you know, has similar mineralization, might have similar costs to produce, and that this will be very good for us because it'll allow us to do that. And then in the Mintel presentation, what they used for their go public and their financing, they raised, I think, $31 million. They referenced Granite Creek as an M&A target. So they've pretty well come out and said that one of their ways that they say to be able to grow is through M&A. And as I referenced, we're the only target within the Mintel Belt. I'm not, you know, I mean, they could be looking at, acquisition of another mine outside the belt. They could be wanting to become a two-mine company and find another near-term asset in North America or something. But I think if they're, you know, if they're looking just down the road to be able to add mill feed to their mill and at probably a cheaper cost than what they are currently, because they're currently underground. So their cost to produce is a little bit higher than what we will be if we would start with our open pit. And then, of course, our underground would probably be very similar in a similar cost structure. So there's a few synergies there that I think will be very interesting to see how they develop in the coming months once Mintel is public and the market values them, and then just kind of look 35 kilometers down the belt and see how we're valued in comparison.
Yeah, Tim, that's going to be interesting to see as an analog how the market does value them, and then it gives you a better idea it gives the marketplace a better idea of how to value the ounces in the ground that you'll have. And I'm sure that they will be watching your updated resource estimate and your PEA with great interest, especially since they're interested in growing and supplementing what they have. But just focusing on some of the regional targets you have around your project that you still could drill to build more value and continue to look at new zones. You've mentioned the zones 1, 4, and 7, the zone 2000S, the zone 13 that you've done this recent drill campaign on, but you also have other zones like the zone 5, the zone 6, the zone 8. There's other zones on your property. How do you see those playing into future drill programs as you continue to expand this resource beyond the resource estimate that's coming up?
Yeah, so there's really two targets. There's at the Carmex deposit itself. So you're right. You referenced zone 5 and 8. And it was interesting. We did take a look at that. We took a look at some historic trenches in those areas. And what we found was that one of the proposed development plans for this project, it was actually back in 2006. It was a heap leach operation. And some of the zones that we see as prospective to add maybe a year or two of mine life were actually under proposed infrastructure. So with an updated plan where we won't be using that infrastructure, we won't be using a heap leach pad, for instance, that opens up some areas for further exploration that have some interesting mineralized horizons that we hope to be able to add to our tonnage. I mean, they're very proximal to mine site, so our potential mine site, so that's good. And then the other one is we have multiple zones outside the Carmex deposit, a lot of them in the northern part of our claim block, but still within a reasonable distance from where a mill would be sited. So we're talking between 5 and 10 kilometers here. And one of those zones we did drill last year and we did some geophysics on this year, was Zone A. So Zone A hadn't seen any significant work since the 1980s. We drilled it and, you know, we hit some spectacular grade, 4.3% copper with 3.5 grams gold over a narrow 4 meter intercept. But what it did show us that really spectacular high-grade material was possible and that there was some more room for exploration. Now, we didn't do any significant drilling on this zone this year. And the reason for that is we were still trying to figure out the orientation of the mineralization. But we did do 20 kilometers of deep penetrating, high-resolution, induced polarity geophysical survey. And that has developed multiple targets for us in the northern part of our claim block that we will be following up in our 2022 field season.
All right, Tim, we'll wrap it up here. There's a lot going on with this company, especially moving in and through this resource update and PEA next year. Also going to be interesting to see just how the market values Mintel when it does go public. We'll follow up as some more news hits the market. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com, and we will get Tim to address those. Tim, thank you again for the update. Have a great rest of your week.
Okay, thank you very much.